Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, we invite you here to be among us. Father, we want to give glory to you. We want to give you honor and praise, Father. Thank you so much for all the things you do in our lives. Father, thank you for a brand new year. Lord, thank you for this season of transition. Just want to glorify your name, Father. Bring glory to who you are by the way we live our lives. Jesus, I ask that you would speak through me today, Father, that you would bless me to speak your truth. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I heard a story recently. I got to start with a story. It's about a friend who goes to church regularly, right, and has a friend who goes with him for the first time, hasn't been to church, right, totally unchurched, never been there. So they're both sitting there in church, and the guy who's never been before is like, you gotta explain some stuff to me, right? You know, they see some people up on stage. Is this a concert? What are they going to do? And his buddy says, oh, no. They're the worship team. They're going to worship, you know, 30, 40 minutes. It's going to be great. Just enjoy it. Okay, cool. You know, and continues going, and then they're passing along the plate, right? And again, my friend's like, what's this? Oh, no, this is tithes, you know, you give 10%. That makes sense. I've kind of heard a little bit about that, right? And then finally, the pastor gets up, the preacher gets up, and you can see him, I'm not wearing a watch, but if I were, you could see him kind of untake the watch and set it down, and the guy goes, what is he doing up there? And the guy leans over and he says, that means absolutely nothing. So, with that said, and with, wonderful, come on. Wait, it's really funny. I heard that same joke, and it was about the same mixed response, but it's a little cleaner than the other ones I had, so I figured I'd go easy on the first time up here, right? Come on. Okay, so my message today is a little bit of a continuation of the talk that we heard last week. If you were here, excellent. If you weren't, I have good news for you, gracetalks.org. You can hear what Eddie and Bethany had to say. It is about living in expectancy. And being expectant, right? So they really touched on the miracle side of God, and it's so neat to hear this miracle today, right? That happened this week, and then to hear on Sunday this go on, and then to be followed, just an incredible week. We're going to be looking at John 14:12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Come on. Isn't that a fun message? You can just hold on to that. You know, God, if that's true, woo-wee. You know, it's a little weighty, it's a little dangerous, right? You're like, anything, God? And it's so neat. I want to talk about this expectancy, right, and how we live in this place. And it's nice when we read the Bible, it's easy to be kind of black and white and say, anything we ask for happens. But then, you know, that same time we see examples of that, right? Ron's dad, Jerry Ost. Incredible. Incredible, right? Hallelujah. That's amazing. But on the other end of that, just as Ron said, you know, I'm looking over here at the seat where Yvonne Face used to sit. And, you know, how many weeks, years did we pray? You know, Father, we ask in your name that this wouldn't happen. You know, that's really tough. You know, there's no easy answer. It's really difficult. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. There's no like easy, simple balm, 1 + 1 = 2 on this. It's really life. But to begin to talk about that, I think I need to talk about my testimony, my family. I have a beautiful picture of my parents. I'm pretty sure it's all blown out, but it's wonderful. My name is Samuel, like I said. My parents are Rose and Brian, and I have a sister, Brianna. And I'm so thankful for my parents. I just got to give them honor. They're phenomenal. They really did a great job, at least in raising my sister, so thank you. So I was born with spina bifida. Obviously, it's not, if you know anything about that, it's not super severe for me. The way that it affected my life is mostly in a lack of control over my bladder and bowels, which is a nice way of saying that I need to use the restroom a lot, and sometimes I wet the bed. So that can be pretty embarrassing, right? It's not really an issue anymore, thank God. But it was seriously an issue when I was growing up. It was kind of a funny trend, I imagine, right? Being a toddler and like, okay, potty training. This is looking good. 3, 4, 5, wait. It's kind of like it did a little, why are we back into the pull-ups? What's going on here? You know? You know, I imagine my parents would ask their friends, like, did this happen to your kids? Did they? You know? That was really difficult for me for a long time. Thankfully, I never had the reputation of being a kid who wet his pants. I changed schools enough times that every time it happened, it was like, okay. You know, God does have mercy, right? Even in dealing with a chronic condition like that. So I'm just being really open and honest here. Life is life. Come on. So if you haven't met me, now you know. And my sister was like, man, how beautiful is she? She's incredible. I absolutely just an incredible person. She's younger than me, but we always joke that she's far more mature. So I might be older, but she's more. Anyway, it's funnier in person because it's totally true. She was born with asthma. So by the time she was 4 or 5, and it's not just like the little, you know, you have those friends who are like, I got asthma, and you hear some wheezing, it's kind of bad. It's actually fairly severe. If in a percentile, it'd probably be like the 5% worst, or right around. It's not unusual for her to be hospitalized once a year. So, you know, it's a pretty common, it got to that point where we had kind of hit those, that moment, right? It's all weekend, her breathing's gotten worse and worse and worse, and, you know, maybe on a Tuesday evening, I remember kind of distinctly one time, you know, she's done about 3 or 4 breathing treatments, and her breathing's not getting any better, and we're sitting there going like, crumb. Okay, we gotta either drive down to the hospital, or we gotta call the paramedics, or something's gotta happen. And, you know, okay, we read our Bibles, grew up in a Christian home. Jesus, you heal. We know that that's what you came to do. Why is this going on? Why am I living with this chronic condition? You know? Really difficult stuff. I remember for myself being in 7th grade. Did anyone have a good experience in middle school? I don't know, right? Did you not go to middle school? That's the only experience I've ever heard. Somebody was like, "Yeah, I had a good time. I wasn't there." I was like, totally skipped it. That's when it really struck hard for me. When I was about maybe 8 or so, I went to a small group. My parents held, you know, one of our, like a little life group, a small group, and they prayed for me, and I felt, man, the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I felt I was healed, and, you know, I'm 8 years old, and I'm like, glory to God, that's a really cool thing, right? And no problems for a while, and 7th grade comes around, and it just comes back, you know, furiously, man. It's like 7th grade's hard enough, but then you got having these problems, so you're going to sleep, and it's like, you're waking up, like, dude, if I could just wake up 3 minutes earlier, that would be awesome, you know? or being in class and being like, listen, I really got to go. Like, I'm not making it up. And, you know, you're squirrely, like, already. Like, 7th grade's pretty, like, okay. You know, you already got to move around a lot, and they just don't trust you. I wouldn't trust a 7th grader, right? So it was pretty bad. And again, it was like, God, I thought you did something then. I thought I was healed. Why am I at this, you know, God? You know, you say this, and this is, I want to believe this is true, but this is my experience. This is how I live. This is life. I can't ignore this. Like, there's some things you can kind of like, I'm just going to live the rest of my life. I'm going to let the house burn. I'm going to pretend it's not burning. And I'm just going to, like, you know, and then you end up in like this little corner. You're like, okay, this little section over here, we're still good. You know, I have some friends like that. So, but it wasn't one of those things that me or my family could do. So thankfully, we weren't able to do that. Not that that would be a reasonable option to begin with, right? I do not recommend doing the house is burning, look away. Yeah, so that kind of gives you a flavor of my family life. I in saying that, I do want to say my parents raised us in a Christian household, right? We would go to faith conferences where you have these people who, boy, hey, you know, you show up and the expectancy is real, right? Man, I've heard stories. I remember going to a Sunday night service and seeing a man come in a wheelchair and leave walking. It was incredible. What? Right? That's nuts. I seriously blew my mind. And how inspiring, how faith, like, wow, you have faith for stuff then. When you see somebody roll in and then walk out, ooh, I don't even need the wheelchair. You keep it, you know. Just such a cool thing. Like, we have such a good God. Such a cool thing. But in that same set of services, having my sister be prayed for and no traction, no healing, no miracle, how do we reconcile that? And the easy answers, I say it's easy because it's the answers I heard kind of repeatedly, were, well, do you have enough faith? Ooh, that's tough, man. You know, and then it's, you know, I don't know. The other one, of course, is, you know, are you sinning? Got a little sin in your life, maybe? Maybe your dad had a little sin, something like that. And I remember going home with your parents, right, and sitting around the living room and kind of sitting there, you know, Father, do I not have enough faith? Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief, right? And doing those powwows and, you know, and taking the time to say, Jesus, if there's anything in me, if there's anything I'm sinning about, if there's anything, God, Lord, to watch my parents say that about myself and my sister, you know, and to know that, okay, God, we're doing as much as we can do on our end, you know, but again, what you say and where our experiences are, right? That tension is what I'm talking about, that difficulty. So I'm sorry if I'm belaboring a point, but in essence, either his word is truth or it's not, right? And there's no two ways about it. And if I don't have, like, there's something's got to give there. There's a tension that I'm describing that's going on. And there is no easy answer. You know, I've walked this out a little bit. I want to share a little bit of that. But there's no easy answer. Why is Jerry Ost here today? And why is Yvonne Face not? There's no easy answer. It's really difficult to talk about. But I don't want to shy away from it in the same vein, which is why I'm here. One thing I can say, though, is the tension that was in Brianna's life in suffering through asthma has totally been this propelling force that has shot her to the nations, right? She is now in France ministering to Syrian refugees as a missionary. It's just one of those incredible things, you know, that tension in your life, how it can propel you. You know, again, there's no easy, God, why haven't you healed me? Yeah, I was just talking with her the other day. I was doing like a FaceTime with her, and she was telling me, you know, keep praying for my breathing, and I saw her doing her treatments and that sort of stuff. If you have anybody who does asthma, it's seriously, you know, it's difficult, right? When you see them having an asthma attack, all you can do is just try and breathe with them. You wish you could breathe for them for just a minute. It's so difficult. I can see some head nods. My goal in speaking about this is not to give you the mental answer. I'm not trying to give you this is the theological precipice which you place in here, and this is the unification of, I've done the schooling thing, it just doesn't work for me too well. But what I do want you to leave here today is with hope and encouragement. I feel that's really perhaps an understanding of maybe why this happens, or maybe what happens from these sorts of situations. That might give a little bit of, maybe it'll help you understand who your father is a little bit more, if you know who your father is. To move forward, Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Now that cast off restraint can also be translated as people are discouraged. You know, where there's no prophetic vision, the people are discouraged. But the blessed is he who keeps the law. So if you're in this situation, I have a chronic illness. I have a not even a chronic illness, right? I just have something in my life that's obviously not Jesus, not what I'm supposed to be doing, not what's in the Bible. And I know this is the truth over here, but this is my experience. And God, I want to be doing this, but here is where I'm at. I'm stuck in this place. It's really easy to lose hope. You know, if you haven't been tracking all the good things that God has done, if you don't know the future that he's doing, if you're not holding on to that hope, if you don't have that prophetic vision, is what I'm trying to say. If you don't have that awareness that God is doing something really good, that he's moving towards that good thing, that he's already done those good things and he's going to do them again. You know, perhaps the story with Jerry Ost has increased your faith. Wouldn't that be an excellent thing? Wow, God's still doing miracles, you know? Not even like, you know, Jerry's raised all his kids. You know what I mean? Like, still doing miracles for the man. Hallelujah. But I really hope that this story can increase your hope. We know that God said that he will send his Spirit of truth. And we know the promise that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So you might be in this expectation, or you might be in this place where, man, I am stuck in this place. And maybe it's like almost like a habitual thing where you've kind of been like, I'm just stuck here and I can't move out. And it's like, I want to be over here. I know this is what God's telling me to be. I know this is the truth of my life. But man, I'm just like, can't move out of this place right here. It is so difficult. There's good news. The truth will set you free. And Jesus sent the Spirit of truth. Come on. Hallelujah, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes it's good to remind ourselves, to stir up that prophetic spirit, that spirit of revelation, just like Amy was prophesying about earlier, You know, thank you. Thank you. And if you want some encouragement, maybe when you walk away, you can go back and read Jeremiah 29:11. That's one of my favorites. I grew up in a family of dreamers, and we would, as a family culture, practice dreaming. Well, I think everybody practices dreaming, right? But we would practice dream interpretation, which is kind of a strange thing to do. But it was fun around the kitchen table, right? You know, breakfast, all right, you share your dreams, and maybe God was saying this, maybe he's saying that. One of the first dreams I wrote down featured myself on a balcony, and I have a bow and arrow. And I'm looking down this balcony, and I see on the floor beneath me, there's like an enemy soldier, right? I'm like, okay, I'm going to get him. And I let it go, and it's like a spaghetti noodle. It just kind of bloop, just falls. No power behind the arrow. Just kind of tumbles out. I'm pretty disappointed. This is like, dude, this. I turn around, and a faceless man changes me bows. He just takes the bow that I have, and he gives me a different one. Okay, thank you. And I grab that arrow again, and I go for that same thing, man, trying to take out that same enemy soldier down there. And I think to myself, you know, last time I aimed for him, and I didn't have enough power. There wasn't enough tension in the bowstring. So this time, I'm going to aim it up here, and I'm going to arc it, you know? All right, thinking smart, uh-huh. Went to school. So I go to arc it, and I let it go. But there's so much tension in the bowstring, instead of arcing, it just goes straight and hits the banner over the enemy. You know, and I want to share with you that the tension in your life, the tension between holding on to what is true in God's word and that personal word, like the personal revelation that Jesus shares with you in your heart, like writing that down and holding on to that and keeping that in your heart, like what happened to Mary, you know, when the angel shows up and says, hey, Mary, much favored are you. Check it out. This is what's going to happen. And how difficult that word was, right? Like, are you know, I'm going to tell my husband that another guy, but it's the Spirit, so it's okay. That must have been really difficult. But she wrote it down, and the Bible says that she treasured those things in her heart. I want to encourage you to do that same thing when the Lord speaks to you, that you write those things down, you put it before you, that you hold on to those things. Those things are going to keep you through when you look around and you say, boy, it's really difficult here, man. I have this thing that's like, you know, the house is on fire, Father, and I only have one bucket, you know. I don't feel like I'm making it. And I know this is the truth over here. I know that you've said these things over my life. How are we going to get there? I want to encourage you, you need not only the faith to get there, but also the hope. And it's those prophetic words that are going to give you the hope. So I don't know if I made that clear in life. It is the tension that the bow gets its power from, right? The tension in your life. So you really want to go far, you really want to do some cool stuff, you're going to probably have a lot of tension in your life. So I want to encourage you, we go through these things for a reason. I can't tell you really why. I can't tell you, you know, I can't name a specific reason why something happens or doesn't happen, but I can encourage you that he does work all things out for the good. So I really want to encourage you. I'm not going to get political, but, you know, the candidate who was not supposed to win won, right? Like, you know, every poll said he shouldn't have won. So that's interesting. I don't know if you saw the Ronda Rousey fight. 43 seconds in, highly favored, done. Like I don't know how to explain this any better. Like the underdogs are destined to win on this season. You know what I'm saying? So if you've had a consistent, I have not been able, or whatever the chronic issue is, I have not had success, God's word is still true. You know, our circumstances don't change the goodness of God. Hallelujah, right? Come on. So I want to encourage you to receive from God. If you do not know this God, if you're here, this is your first time, or maybe you've been here a number of times, but you're like, man, this guy's like kind of, what's going on here? I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus. This doesn't come from a preacher up here. This doesn't come from me up here. This isn't somebody who needs to pray for you. This is actually God who came down as flesh and died for your sins. And he loves you. He loves you, and he wants to have a personal relationship with you. He will use me and my crap to talk to you, but he much, much rather prefers to speak to you one-on-one. He knows you by name, you know. He doesn't call you Mr. Smith. He calls you Daniel. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wants to be on a name, first name basis with you. That's his desire. He wants to be your sibling. And so I just want to declare, this is a time of transition over these people, Father, that the things that have been difficult are probably going to continue being difficult, but we're going to see some massive changes over 2017. Father, that this is your season just to shift things, Lord, that as we put things before you, Lord, as we press into it, as we pray, Lord, as you increase our faith, Lord, that you would increase our hope for these circumstances, Lord. I just ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would come and rest on your people. Just come and rest on your people, Father.